Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get you in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun. G'day! Welcome to episode 13 of Slam Fire Radio. I'm your host, Steve Lee, and joining me this week is Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy. And Owen the Warrior Fluellen. How you going there, boys?
Hey, Steve. How you doing, man?
That was an excellent intro.
Yeah, best intro ever,
I would have to say.
You know, on par, I guess, with 10X's, because 10X did pull off a pretty good Steve Lee impression in episode 12B.
That is true.
But I don't think...
I actually didn't hear that.
Yeah, does he owe you royalty fees now, Steve, or how does that go?
You can have it, man.
We'll let it go this time, I guess, huh? Very good. Well, Steve, welcome to the show, man. How you been doing?
I've been doing really good. Poking along. Doing okay down here in great old Oz.
That's awesome. What we normally do to start off each show is we kind of talk about what we've done in the past week with guns. Just kind of, you know, been to the range, blah, blah, blah. So why don't we kick it off with you? What have you done this week with guns?
I did a contract shoot this week, sort of last Tuesday.
So Steve.
Yeah, now explain to our North American audience what contract shooting is, because here it means you hire somebody to murder someone.
Well, it's the same sort of thing, but it's just not people. People hire me to go and shoot their pest animals. So I headed up to Outback New South Wales. I don't usually like saying where I go shooting because people are going to steal my spots, but I'm not thinking any of you guys are going to come. So it's up towards Brewarrina in the middle of Outback New South Wales there. So I headed up there.
Hold on. Maybe I will come, huh?
Yeah, if you want to come. If anyone else out there wants to come on a contract pig shoot, all you got to do is pay for Matt McClatchy to come along with you, and you can come and have a hunt. So if any of you, what do you call yourselves? Canucks? Canucks?
Canucks, yeah.
Yeah, any of you Canucks want to come, bring Matt along, and he's got to pay for his airfare, and I'll look after you. So we'll go shoot some pigs and some other some exotic Australian animals.
It's a stretch, Steve, but hey, it's a shot. We're taking it. Let's see if anybody takes us up on the offer.
Mate, my life is about long shots, and I'm in for that one. I'd love to see. Now, if anyone out there is actually like rolling in the cash, right, and they've got enough, we want Owen to come along as well, but he's like second to the Matthew thing.
Thanks. I feel so loved.
Well, I know you've got more responsibilities there with the kids and everything, aren't you? So, you know.
I'm glad you're thinking of my family.
I am, mate. Anyway, you want me to tell you what I did with guns this week?
Yes, continue on. So you went contract shooting. You shot some pigs, I'm guessing.
I did, but I did it for used to be a magazine, but now it's a DVD. So they sell this DVD at the news agency called, what is it called? I don't know. Some magazine thing. Anyway, he came out and filmed us for the whole time. So we had to have this guy on the back of one of the four-wheelers sitting on a chair. We found an office chair out there and stuck him on the top of an office chair.
On the back of a four-wheeler?
Yeah, we strapped him on there. The dogs usually sit there, but we got to the sheep station, and he goes, well, how am I going to sit here? And he sort of sat sideways in this little dog box. And I said, that ain't going to work. So someone brought out an office computer chair with five wheels on it. I ripped the wheels off and strapped it down with my tie downs for my motorcycle. And I strapped it onto the back of the bike, and he just sat up and he had the best view. Man, it'll be great hunting from up there. He said to me, I could shoot way more pigs than you guys. He was up so high. But he just sat there the whole time, and it even swiveled. So he was filming from there. So we did that, but we ended up getting there was three of us shooting. I was sort of two. The guy on the bike that was taking the other guy didn't shoot as much. He got 20 pigs. The other guy, the soldier that came along, he was only using a pump action centerfire. He used a 223 for a while and a 308, and he got, I think he might have got about 40. and I got 120 with me semi-auto, which I love, man. You got the Australian government with the semi-auto thing is just, it's just, I don't even want to say what it is. It's just retarded. Anyway. But you guys can't hunt with semi-autos either, can you?
Oh, of course we can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. That's
no problem.
Because you guys would have problems up there. You could eradicate stuff up there. You'd probably have a huge problem with seals since no one's allowed to club them to death anymore, wouldn't you? What?
Yep. I like it.
We have the same issue down here with kangaroos, man. They're just plague proportions.
Yeah.
Millions. And I get tags to shoot kangaroos. I don't tell too many people because people think it's really cruel. I see this cute little animal with a with its own little wallet and think, yeah, that's great. It can carry things around. But, yeah, no, I'll wipe them out all day long if I have to. There's so many. Honestly, there's just so many kangaroos. But that's another story. Anyway, from there, I then got my license back on Tuesday. I haven't had a car license for 2 years. So I think that was – I got home on the Wednesday. So then I drove down to Melbourne, which is about 1,000 kilometres. So I drove down there and picked up my PSG-1. So I've got a PSG-1, which I haven't even shot yet because the guy was fixing it. He still hasn't fixed it, but that's another story. So I picked
What's a PSG-1?
It's a H&K sniper rifle. In the 90s, yeah, it was probably the most accurate sort of most accurate sniper rifle around, I guess.
And, it's semi-automatic though, isn't it?
Yeah, semi-auto. There's about probably 300 to 400 people in the whole of the state that I live in that have semi-auto, so don't have the illusion that we've got semi-autos, but we haven't. I've done a lot of work to be able to get my semi-autos, and as a contract shooter, I can get them.
Yep.
And there's a couple of other things I did. I ended up getting a license called a theatrical armourer's license, mm-hmm. and that license enables me to use guns in film. Because in Australia, you've got to have a legitimate reason. So every time you get a license, you have to prove that that's the reason you've got the license for. Like, for instance, my license says on my license that I can hunt with them and target shoot with them. And then there's this other license called a theatrical armor, which they will not give out to anybody, which enables you to have everything. And when I say everything, I'm talking everything. If you put it in, mm-hmm. you can get RPGs if you can find one, but that's something else. Anyway, so I ring the firearms registry and said, I want to get a theatrical armorer's license. And they said, you've got to work in film. And I said, I'll send you a few videos. So I sent them all like guns and all the other ones. And they emailed me back and said, yeah, well, we don't consider that that's really the movies. And we're not going to give you the license. And I said, well, hang on. You said that I can – am I allowed to do those? I go, yeah, you can do them under your normal license. And I go, yeah, but your law states that I can only hunt and target shoot. So in actual fact, you're giving me permission to break the law. Is that right? And they went, well, no, you can't really break the law. And I said, well, then in that case, you should send me theatrical armourers because you know that I'm allowed to do this, but only with the right license. Mm-hmm. And about 3 months later, I got a theatrical armourers license in the mail.
Nice.
So that enabled me to have like semi-autos and pretty well lots of stuff. But I don't like saying too much of what I got, but yeah, I got heaps of stuff. But I'm one of the rare guys, so don't go thinking that Australia's gun laws are loosening up. They are not. They're just as crappy and bad as they ever were.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh, sorry, I'm just all talking about what I did this week with guns. What did you do this week with guns, Matthew?
Yours is more interesting than mine. I did actually shoot some bullfrogs, but I talked about that earlier on the show, so I don't need to talk about that again. The major thing that I did this week was I went to Woodstock Tuesday evening and shot a level one IPSC match put on by David Harris. And I got to tell you, David puts on a heck of an IPSC match, so good job to David, and I really enjoyed myself there.
Yeah. Good one.
Other than that, I didn't really do a whole lot else. Just kind of, I've been kind of relaxing since the trip and just trying to stay cool. It's quite a bit warmer here than, well, no, I guess it was quite warm in Ontario too, but we had Brian's pool to jump into and the rain to cool us down a bit. So,
Why don't you tell us, Matthew, who won the match?
Some guy likes to throw out the warning shot every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Owen's kind of upset that I beat him because the entire match I was telling him, no, you're doing better than I am. You're winning. Your times are better. You're getting better hits. But
and the fool, I was the fool because I believed him.
But I wasn't trying to put him on. I really did think he was doing better than I was. But the numbers don't lie, I guess, as Owen has told me several times. But I didn't beat him by much. I mean, he was within 10% of me, so that's pretty good. But it was a good match. It was a lot of fun, and you know, what else can I say about it?
I'm going
to the next one. Of course, the next one's Nationals, I think, is the next match I'm going to. So
yeah, I was looking over some of the stages for Nationals. Those things, oh, there are some brutal, brutal stages.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost as if David designed them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So come on, Alan, what did you do with your firearms this week? Tell us.
All I did was shoot the match. I didn't do anything else.
Good.
So, yeah.
And did you come in second place?
Yes, I came in second place.
Well, there you go. You did something cool.
Was there only two people in that competition?
No.
Six people altogether.
Yeah, there were six. It wasn't a huge match, but it was still fun.
Yeah. Six people.
Yeah. So I guess on tour, well, Trevor, he's not here. Trevor is off to Montreal. He apparently didn't have enough of it when we drove through it twice in the last week, so he went back.
Yeah.
I guess it's his anniversary with his wife or something. I don't know. I don't pay attention to these things. But apparently t-shirt orders are still available. So there were some t-shirts handed out at the charity shoot for some guys who had bought them. And anybody who still wants a t-shirt, send an EMT for $20 to trevor.furlott@nbed.nb.ca and tell him what color, what size, and we'll get a t-shirt off to you. So
well, I suppose I'll get this too, don't I, if I want one.
I guess so. And the good news is I'm going to actually, this next run, it's actually going to even look better because Trevor kind of screwed up the last one. And it wasn't really his fault. I just wasn't clear enough what I wanted. But they're going to be cool shirts. You guys should get one. So
with every shirt, you get a free hunting trip in Australia. You just got to buy your own fares. It comes with every shirt.
That's right. You win the hunting trip, you just have to pay for it.
That's right. You win the opportunity to spend money to go see Steve Lee in Australia and shoot pigs, and I'll even come along with you because you pay for me.
Yeah, let's do it. Man, this could work. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff other than pigs to shoot, you know?
It could work. Hey, you never know. So anybody who's listening.
We've got plenty of foxes. We've got a few cats. But
I can ring my Silva fox whistle over and I can try that thing out.
Hey, I had a guy over there who's been doing really well with the silver fox whistle on coyotes. Have you had much luck?
No, not yet.
Have you tried?
Mostly because I haven't tried.
Yeah, sitting it on the cover, the coyotes aren't going to come to it. You've actually got to go out in the field.
I don't like. They don't even ring the doorbell or anything whenever I blow that thing in the living room. I mean, they just, you know. Let me tell you, it annoys the cats. I can tell, and my wife.
Do the cats know that it sounds like a rabbit?
I don't know what they think it sounds like, but they freak out every time I blow it.
They probably know you're pulling coyotes in.
That's right. So
I think for the first year that I was married, I was just getting into the waterfowl hunting at the time. And so I would come home as I was learning to call. I would come home from work, and we just lived in a little tiny cabin, really, is what it was. Like 16 by 20, all one room. And so my wife would be making dinner, and I'd be laying on the couch just on the other side of the room, 15 feet away, blowing for everything I was worth on my goose call. It really amazes me we're still married because it's loud, especially inside. And when you're learning, it's rather painful to listen to.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, let's move on to the main topic here, which is, of course, Mr. Blank. Steve Lee. What's that, Owen?
Say it's blank. There's nothing written here.
Yeah, we're gonna wing it off the cuff, so to speak.
Oh.
But Steve's going to talk to us a little bit about background in Australian gun laws and what's been going on recently in the political ends of gun laws in Australia. There's been some news, I guess.
It's not good.
No.
Yeah, it's... Well, I suppose, I don't know if most people know how tough the gun laws are here. I mean, they're similar in some ways to Canada, but ours are probably worse again. We have some, we have some things that are a little bit better. I didn't realize you guys couldn't have high-capacity magazines. I can have high-cap mags on my D-class firearms, but...
Go really quick through your A, B, C, D, and H. That's correct, H, not H. Yeah. Class licenses.
Yeah, A, B, C, D, and H. Is that H?
There you go. H. Yeah.
H. Yeah. It starts with an A, man. So it's supposed to start with a H, not an A. Anyway, so we've got A, which is so category A. So when you apply for a license in most states, they vary a little bit in the states, but they're all pretty similar. So in 96, the federal government brought in a whole lot of regulations that everyone had to abide by, but they still waver a little bit, depends on the state. So I'll tell you exactly as I know in New South Wales. In New South Wales, which is like most, A category is for 22s and shotguns, but not pump actions or semi-autos. But you can have pump action 22s, it's not pump action shotguns. Category B is for centerfire rifles. So that's all centerfires, but that excludes semi-autos. Category C is only for primary producers, which is farmers and stuff who have to have a property identification number to get that license. They can have semi-automatic 22s and semi-automatic shotguns and pump-action shotguns, but only one of each. And then you get a category H, which up until recent times no one really ever heard of. And then I got one put up on YouTube, and it's sort of like the Firearms Registry is quite annoyed that everyone now knows you can get a category. Did I say H or D?
You said H, but you meant H, but you really meant D.
Because you confused me before. I meant D. Yeah. So category D, which is contract shooting, yeah. I'm not real good on the alphabet. So anyway, so category D is for contract shooting, and contract shooting in Australia means you have to have a legal contract to get this license, or an agreement from a farmer. So a letter from a farmer is basically all they really need to say you have a contract. But then you also need a letter from your accountant to state that you receive money for your contract work. So it's a little loose because they don't ask how much or anything. You just need to have a letter from your accountant, a letter from a couple of property owners, and you get the category D. Now, licenses down here are for 5 years, so that gives you a bit of breathing space. And so the category D entitles you to have, up until probably 6 or 8 months ago in New South Wales, we could have any semi-automatic weapon. But there's this little clause that they found recently, and they're now enforcing, which says you cannot have a firearm that is designed or used for military purposes. So in New South Wales at the moment, they're stopping anyone who goes for a category D because more and more people started to get it. Some idiot put so many videos up on YouTube, everybody wanted it. So when you apply for your gun now, they want you to tell them what gun it is before they give you the license to have it. So the only things that they consider not to be ex-military – things like a Mini 14, which I'm hoping this doesn't get back to Australia, but the Indian Army used the Mini 14, but that's another story. They obviously haven't found that bit. But anyway, any gun that was used or designed for military purposes is not supposed to. So they've left the Mini 14.
You mean
out.
Globally, like anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world, mate.
Wow.
It's a killer. Yeah. And if it was ever, like for instance, you can't use an M1 carbine anymore. Not that you'd really want to, like for hunting. I mean, I would. But I bought an M2 the other day. Well, that's another story. Anyway, so with this category D in New South Wales, they're now enforcing that you can't get these ex-military guns. At the moment, I'm still okay because I had some previously because I was one of the first guys to get into it,
right,
as we all know. And I bought a whole lot of guns. I bought like 5 SKSs and a couple of Jungmans because that's all I could find at the time. And most – you couldn't even find the semi-autos because – people had them, but there was no market for them, so very few people brought them up. So now that it became more of a market, they started actually coming out. People started digging them up and registering them and bringing them onto the books because there was a market for them to buy. But now the New South Wales government is stating that you can't register any of these guns, can't have them on your D-class license. So you can only have like a Valmet Hunter, a Mini 14, a couple of like a Winchester 100. And there's a couple of other ones that you can, like a Remington. Oh, I forget what the Remington's called. There's another Remington that's sort of like a real sporting model that's not used for military at all. But there's like – you could probably name all the guns that are really designed only for sporting use and never been used by an army on one or two hands if you're lucky.
Well, I know that in your latest videos you were talking about how the SKS is one of the – you know, your favorite rifles for shooting pigs. That's definitely been used in militaries before. So how are you getting away with that, or is that just because you were there first?
Can you not say that so loud? They might hear us all the way down here in Australia. Yeah, no, I know. Like anyone else who's going for an SKS or an SKK or whatever you want to call them, there depends on the magazine capacity and stuff. Those guns, no one has been in the last 6 or 8 months. No one's been authorized to have one of those.
So because you were previously authorized, you continue to maintain your authorization. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, but I think it's because the government knows it's complicated, right? There is a thing you can appeal a firearm decision. So there's a thing called the ADT, I think it's called. You can appeal a firearms decision and you can get it reversed. So my guess is that if they try to take them off these people who have got them, they'd fight them in court and make a precedent for them to be allowed to have, because they've allowed this law to be in there since 96. So technically it's now 2013, so what are we talking, 13 years, 16, I can't add up real well. But anyway,
sure, it's close enough. It's potato, so.
Yeah, 17. Anyway, so it's been like over 10 years, 12 years, but they've allowed this law to 15 years. Man, that's long.
Seven. You said 2006
or 2000? Yeah, no, 96. 96.
Or 96. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be 17 years.
17 years. So they've allowed this law for 17 years, and the last 6 months they've now decided to enforce this particular part of the legislation, their interpretation of it. See, up until that time, I believe the interpretation of, because the law said, and I rang them and said, the law states that it says here, am I boring you with this crap?
No, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, the law states, it says on the law, you cannot have a gun that it is designed or used for military purposes. So I rang them with an argument that the word is means a gun that is now being used by the military, not was. And all these guns that they're trying to stop us from using are guns that used to be. And once they're no longer used by the military, like, for instance, the SKS was stopped being used in 74.
Yep.
The Korean Army was the last people to use it. So technically that was a gun that was used and designed for military purposes. It's not is. And I'm arguing this point with them, and they went, no, we don't care, because they don't care. They will do nothing. The Firearms Registry will do nothing in favor of shooters. They'll only do everything in favor of getting rid of shooters.
Yep.
It always tilts towards the idea of making it harder, not easier. So anyway, so I use that argument. Now, the thing is, in a court of law, I think that might stand. So the problem they have is if I appeal, but I have to appeal a decision they make. If I appeal this decision that they have taken my SKS off me or asked for it, I could possibly win. So they're letting people like me keep it, but there's this little clause in the law, which I found the other day, that says Category D PTAs, which is a permit to acquire. So you've got to put a permit to acquire into the registry, and on that permit to acquire, they now insist, which is not in the legislation either, they now insist that you write what gun you're going to have. Then they send back to you and say you can't have that gun. Now, there's this little clause in the law that says a Category D PTA cannot be appealed. So they know that.
Oh, I see. So they're letting people who have them keep them, but they know that they can stop anybody else who wants it.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're only doing that until they find some other way of taking them off it. So what they're going to do is they're going to find some precedent where it's all a time game. I've got them at the moment, but they're going to keep looking until they find some little loophole in the law, some little clause. Like, for instance, what they did recently. As a dealer, as a gun dealer, I can buy unregistered guns and register them.
Right.
In the last month, they sent an email out to every dealer and said, you're no longer allowed to buy unregistered firearms, because there's a bit in the law that states that a dealer is not allowed to have an unregistered firearms in his possession at all. Now, the problem with that law is when you look at the legislation of the law and where it was written, it's written into a part about working on guns. So they're talking about if you have a gun that comes to your workshop and it's unregistered, you're in breach of the law.
Right.
But they've used that little clause about working on guns because there wasn't any clarity in it. They've now used it to say that you're not allowed to have an unregistered gun in your premises at all. So for the last 17 years, dealers have been buying unregistered guns and re-registering them, and now they can't do that anymore. So what? And the reason for that is because the police – we've been having a lot of shootings in Sydney, and the police want to show the public that they doing their job and collecting guns off the street. So what this is going to enable them to do, this is my interpretation, is they will now, when people die and everything, what usually happens is someone dies, they've got unregistered guns, their family takes it to a dealer, sells it to a dealer, the dealer registers it. Now that that's not going to be able to happen, when someone dies, those guns will have to go to the police station, the police will put them in their books and then say that adds to the number of confiscated guns they've taken off the street. So it's all a numbers game to make it look good for the media.
That's
so
right.
That whole law is just to make it look like they're doing their job, and it just attacks law-abiding firearms owners as usual when they can't even do their job of keeping guns off the street. And we've got guns coming into Australia for a long time, I didn't think it was possible really to get guns in Australia because we're an island. But, you know, they're just – I think they're bringing them in the container loads. All the criminals have got them. There's shootings going on in Sydney all the time, and it's just going mad. But they're still blaming legitimate gun owners. So the Greens jump up and down and say, because of the gun crime, we need to tighten the laws up. And all the gun owners are going, well, hang on. You know, we've done everything you've asked, and now you want to tighten us more. And there's no way that these guns are coming from us. But they just do statistics all the time of how many guns get stolen from law-abiding citizens, you know, their safes get stolen from. So they're always pushing the point constantly. So we've had those losses lately. And to compound it, we were supposed to be the Shooters and Fishers Party, which has two seats in our New South Wales government. They have two elected seats, so we've got two elected members. So we really have all anti-gun people through the whole of the two major parties. Everyone's anti-gun except for these two seats we have. I mean, there's about 60 seats or something. Now, these guys are trying their hardest to get stuff through.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of made some deals. You're not supposed to make deals, but they sort of made a deal or an agreement with the government that if they helped them out on a couple of things, they would allow us to shoot in national parks in New South Wales because we're not allowed to.
Right.
So they decided they'd shoot in national parks, and there's 800 national parks, but they put the number down to 80. And then they put it down to 12 last week and said, we can shoot in 12, but you must go out with a park warden to shoot the pests, and you're only allowed to do it for eradication. You're not allowed to hunt, which makes no sense at all. And you've got to do a big study and a course beforehand. So they've sort of knocked the national parks on the head. But to make it even compounded even worse, there was another thing called the Game Council where we're allowed to shoot in public forests. Now, that's been going for 10 years. The previous government did that, and that's run by shooters. And the Shooters and Fishers Party have a great relationship with these guys because most of these guys that run it, even though it's a government organisation, it's shooters run it, shooters are in it, and it's for shooters. So they said it was a conflict of interest. So they've now, in overnight, they just said the Game Council is now no more. It's disbanded, finished, goodbye. And overnight, they sacked everybody in that department of the government.
Wow.
And they just so now we have no forestry. They said they're going to hand it over to another department, the DPI, but whether that happens and how long it takes and all that sort of thing could be years, and then it'll just sort of go away. And so we're sort of on downhill battle at the moment, as we have been since 96. Things aren't getting easier. They're actually still getting tighter. That's my sad story. Sorry about that.
That is a sad story. It's really painful to hear that, you know, you continue to slide down that slippery slope, and we tell our listeners all the time that, you know, that's what gun laws are like. You start off with something that seems kind of benign, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. But then next thing you know, they're taking away everything. Like,
they're pretty crafty too. They've just brought a law in this year where we now have to show our license and our gun registration for pistols to buy ammunition.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that in California too. You gotta get an actual fire. You have to pay a $50 fee. They're thinking every time you got to go in to buy ammo. It's dumb, but that's what the antis want. They don't want it to be easy for us. They think that they're saving baby kittens and thinking of the children and blah blah blah. But really, all they're doing is
I don't think that at all. All they think is they don't want to have guns because they don't like them. They don't care, and they're just selfish pigs. I just want to smash them all. Anyway, I can't say that because I'm a gun owner. I'm probably not getting locked up. I'd get my guns taken off me for saying I want to smash people here in Australia. Seriously.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, we have to walk on eggshells, and we're so careful with what we say because we don't want our guns taken away. Meanwhile, the antis, the other side, they threaten our lives, and they say they want to kill us all, and they think that they should assassinate our leaders and blah, 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 and nothing comes of it, and they're fine.
I agree with them. They shouldn't have guns because they're damn scary, man.
That's true. Yeah, you do listen to some of them, and some of those people, you're right. They should not have guns, and I'm glad they don't. But, you know, it just goes to show that generally it is only the mentally stable who go out after firearms licenses. And, you know, if you have a firearms license, you're not a criminal because you get a background check performed on you every day, at least here in Canada we do. And you know, you're clearly mentally fit. So,
I was speaking to a guy the other day. He said his lawyer said to him, who is a firearms lawyer, he only deals with firearms people. He said, all my clients, every single one of them, are not criminals. They're also squeaky clean because they can't even get a firearms license without having an immaculate record. So these guys aren't even criminally minded, like slightly. So to even get a gun license in Australia, you've got to be so much down the straight and narrow that you're not even close to being a criminal. It's just frustrating.
And yet they still come up with all these laws to make our lives that much harder when the bad guys aren't even thinking about the law anyway. They don't care if they can legally have a high cap magazine by, you know, getting their D-class license. They don't care about that. They just go out and buy one out of the back of some guy's Toyota in a back alley.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's definitely frustrating.
Let's talk about something fun. I hate that.
All right. Tell us a joke.
Joke. Oh, you put me on the spot.
I hate it when that happens.
I've got a joke, but I don't know if it works in your language.
Oh, wow. Well.
The three couples that get killed in the car and go to heaven. Have you heard that one?
Maybe.
Can I tell it?
Sure, go for it.
All right, so these three couples, they turn up at heaven. They've been busy in a car crash together. First guy rocks up and God comes out and goes, "What do you think you're doing, mate?" He says, "Oh, I thought I'd come on in." He goes, "You're kidding me, eh?" He says, "No, me and my wife." He goes, "Mate, when you're on earth, all you ever thought about was money. Money, 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 money. There's no way you're coming in. You're so bad you married a girl called Penny." Off you go. So he wanders off. Next guy walks up and says, "What about me?" He says, "You? You've got to be kidding me." He says, "Why?" He says, "Mate, when you're on earth, all you ever thought about was alcohol. Drink, 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 drink all the time. So bad you married a girl called Sherry." Off you go. You're not coming in. Next guy walks up, turns to his wife and says, "Forget it, Fanny. We got no chance."
That works.
Yeah, sorry. You caught me on the spot. That's all I had.
That's all right. That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, why don't we've actually got a fair bit of listener feedback, so let's go through some of these emails. And Steve, did you want to stick around for that, or did you have to get going? I know you said earlier that you had some stuff you had to do today. We've got probably another half hour here. If you want to stay, you're welcome.
And my wife's actually landed at the airport. She's coming back from Cambodia today, so I do have a little bit of time. I don't really have a lot of time.
Okay.
So if I could go, if you could relieve me from my obligation here, that would be spectacular.
Steve, I hereby relieve you.
Thanks, mate.
Well, Steve, it's been fantastic having you on. We're glad that you could join us. We're sorry that you've got some bad firearms laws going through right now, but you know, Canada stands by you guys, and we'll do our best to help you after we're done helping ourselves.
Thanks, man. That's really good, actually.
What else can I say?
I enjoy being on your show.
Well, Steve, again, thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.
No worries, Matt. See you, Alan. You're the man, mate.
Thanks, Steve.
The woman.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
Okay, that was hilarious. The woman. That's the best.
I'm not even sure what he meant, but anyway.
You're the man, the woman. You're a woman. He called you a skirt.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you roll us into listener feedback then?
This email comes from, am I supposed to say the bolded part?
Yes, it's from Marshall.
This is from
the italics you don't. It's the italics you don't read.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Trevor.
Aloha from south of the border. It's funny, south of the border, yeah.
Well, very south, maybe. Maybe it might actually be a little bit west.
Very west.
Yeah, quite west of the border and slightly, a little south.
Slightly south, very west. Well, I have been listening to your banter for some time now and feel I finally have something to contribute. I was listening to episode 9 where Trevor was complaining about how he had to stop shooting a match because it was impossible to keep score in the rain.
That's mostly because he's a pansy.
Pretty much. I didn't hear where you kept shooting despite the rain without keeping in tally.
I don't know what he's saying there, but that's okay. Keep going.
Yeah, it works. What do you think? The bad guys only work on bright sunny days with little to no wind? Where the grass is perfectly manicured for you to fall down after he hits you upside the head with an empty Mickey's Big Mouth bottle while the birds chirp? I say no. I would agree.
I like this guy already.
Yeah. Keep going, Marshall. As long as you're just beating on Trevor, we're with you.
Yeah.
Try printing your forms on some write-in-the-rain paper for those days when you just can't avoid the weather. I've been using this product for 25 years in the field quite successfully, And yes, it even works underwater with a pencil or Fisher Space Pen. I have a Fisher Space Pen.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't.
I have not tried crayon, but suppose Trevor could use one from his box of 64. Even the teal one. Excellent. Because I enjoy the show and look forward to listening when working in the shop. If you ever wanted to trade oppressive gun law stories, let me know. In some ways, even your ATT laws are better than ours here in Hawaii. Ehuihu. Until next we meet, Marshall Ness.
Ahuiho?
Ahuiho? Yeah,
I'm going to go with Ahuiho. Actually, Ahuiho. Marshall, we've never really talked to anybody from Hawaii, and I know that Hawaii's gun laws are kind of oppressive. So send me another email and let me know when you're available, and we'll get you on the show sometime. We'll talk about some Hawaiian gun laws, and maybe you can teach us some more, you know, words that have no consonants in them. It's kind of like the complete opposite of like Kazakhstan or something. You know, they have nothing but consonants in all their words. And Hawaii, yeah. Nah, too many consonants. All right, this next one comes to us from... Sorry, go ahead.
Not going to talk about this any?
Oh, okay, I guess we could.
I mean, I was going to take advantage of this excellent opportunity to trash on Trevor some more.
Oh, well, go ahead. I'm not going to hold you back on that.
But you're not going to be involved.
No, well, you know, I do feel sorry for him sometimes.
Yeah, no, I just was... going to comment that Trevor's not as wimpy as he sounds.
No, he's not. No, it was actually a really bad weather day that they were out, and you know, he had been out there the day previously as well, and it was a rough day. So, you know, I am actually the wimpiest of the three. In fact, I surprised everybody when I stayed out in the rain in Ontario at Bolivar's range because it was raining. But, you know, it was like 90 degrees. And it was warm rain, so I was okay with it. But yeah. But yeah, generally, if it's raining or if there's forecast for rain, I don't play in the rain. I like to play. I'm a fair weather shooter. I know the bad guys will come at me in the rain too. But if I got my choice, I'd rather play in the sun, not in the rain.
Yeah, I really look at that adverse weather as much as I hate it, because let's face it, nobody really likes to shoot in the rain and bad weather and get down on the ground.
But it is good training.
I just look at it as a good training opportunity to run my gun.
Yep.
I saw a picture. I think it was on...
I saw a rock.
CGN. Yeah. On CGN. Of some guy's NEA. It was a thread was about NEAs or something. Anyway, he had a picture of his AR-15. And he'd ran it at a match. And he took a picture of it before and after the match. I've never seen a gun so covered in mud. You should try to find it. It was, I mean, it was brown. It was completely covered in mud. And he said,
and it was still working?
It was still working. He said, until near the end, he was laying in a puddle and there was like mud like running into the action while he was shooting or something. And it was starting. He said he had some issues. He had to take it apart and lube it up and clean it a little bit. But yeah, it ran really good. He said the instructors on this course he was on came over and couldn't
believe
it.
They're like, what kind of AK-47 you got there?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe it was still running.
Yeah. So. Marshall, I did look up this Right in the Rain paper online, and it actually looks pretty cool. I saw a video of them, you know, writing on this treated paper underwater, and it worked very well. So
I've seen notebooks.
Yeah.
Before that were made out of that stuff.
I didn't see how expensive it was, but that would be good stuff for scoring in the rain, definitely.
Yep.
Yep. Very good. Well, thank you for that email, and ahoy ho to you too. This next one comes to us from Toby Lee. He goes, "Hey, Canadian gun dudes," and by Canadian gun dudes, I mean the LARPer. So he's talking to you. Okay. While listening to my favorite pro-gun podcast, Radio Velocité Quebec, I heard them mention Matt, Trevor, and Bolivar. That's weird. They probably should have mentioned Owen, but that's okay. Although I do not speak a word of French, I barely speak English as a first language, I'm pretty sure they were talking smack about you. If they weren't, they certainly should have been. I want to congratulate you on a fine show. I've been enjoying each and every episode. I would encourage you to work harder, as one day you may become my third favorite podcast. Chaz of the Road Gunner podcast works really hard to be my second favorite. By the way, you need more cowbell from Toby Lee. I can only guess what his favorite podcast is. I don't know, maybe his own?
Maybe.
But Toby, thank you so much for the email. Definitely appreciated. And we'll try. We met up with the Radio Velocity Quebec guys at the charity shoot last weekend, and they were nice guys. They weren't talking smack about me at all while I was there. So,
you realize when he said he tells us what his favorite program podcast is?
Is it Gun Dudes?
What's Radio Velocity Quebec?
Oh,
he does it right in the second sentence of the email.
Oh well, I can't read very well. Or count
you
a potato.
You can either read or comprehend, not both
that's
at the same
how
time.
That's how I normally do it. Yes, I either understand what's going on or I'm reading about it. Speaking of stuff that's not going on, why don't you read us the next email?
This is from Filthy. Hi, guys. My vote of single end-of-the-world gun is an AR with a 22 conversion kit. Surprised?
Not at all.
You can carry a lot of 22 ammo. It doesn't take up much space. Boy, I cannot read tonight.
Clearly.
You can carry a lot of 22 ammo. It doesn't take up much space or way too much. You can use 22 to get some small game and save your 223 for the two-leg environments. In Australia, that would be
a kangaroo.
Here's a pic of the rifle. I told Matt I had no plans on building back when he interviewed me on CRR. He still blames you. It's not quite done yet, but when it's finished, I'd love to have you down at my range to try it out. I think that counts as an invitation, as I'm no longer required to give you one by the New Brunswick CFO, eh? And then the link of the photograph. So
it's a cool looking rifle. I would love to come down and shoot that with you, Filthy. I'd even bring mine, and you can see what a 6 MOA AR feels like. Not everybody's got a shotgun AR, but yes. I do. very good. Well, thank you, Filthy, for sending that in. And how did I manage to give myself the longest email?
Well done.
If Trevor was here, I'd have him read it.
Yes.
But he's not, and neither is 10X, so here goes. This one comes to us from Thomas Donnelly, and I have to say I met Tom at the CRR charity shoot, and this is his sort of review of it. And thank you, Tom, for sending it in. I think the listeners are going to enjoy this. He
we
starts
could do
off
like
with
every other paragraph, if that made you feel better.
I'll be okay. I'm not going to cry too much about it. He starts off with, "Hello, podcasters. Terry and I," that's his wife, "had a great time at this year's CRR charity shoot. Got to make some new friends, meet some Facebook friends, and have a lot of fun for a worthy cause. A very special thanks to Andrew Craig for the enormous amount of work involved in organizing this event. The Galt Sportsman Club was awesome. All of the ranges were excellent. You can shoot steel, paper, or drive a kilometer for the most impressive silhouette range I have ever seen. I was very surprised that I even won the zombie pistol match. Having never used my cheap Bushnell Red Dot outdoors, I went into shock when I discovered that I could not see the red dot against the zombie targets. I changed the reticle size, which changes the point of impact on these cheap optics, and cranked my brightness setting to max. Even that didn't work. Panic time. I may lose my case of Dr. Pepper now." That's right, he had that side bet with Trevor going on. "Then I could barely see the dot unless it was against the black background. Then, to make things worse, my reshoot target was even lighter in color and harder to see. I dropped down to 96 from 109 on my reshoot. I thought for sure Pat would clean up with his Ipsic open gun, or Trevor would shoot a Mag 40 grouping with his 686. Matt liked my gun's big grips and the balance with the comp. Trevor, on the other hand, my gun is at the bottom of his I want list. After all, it is a cheap 45 styled lower, and it's a 22. It looks like a Buck Rogers ray gun with that comp out front, but it is so darn accurate. I sighted in the gun with some new Remington target ammo before the charity shoot. Using a firm rest at 20 yards, 3-shot groups went into the same hole, taking out the X. It is easy to get scores of 90 out of 100 with my cheap little Ruger 22-45. Well, it's not that cheap after the Volkwartz and Sear trigger, comp, custom grips, and mag bumper pads. To the guy who showed up with a restricted rifle at the Silhouette match, we were advised numerous times by Andy that the Silhouette range was not approved by the CFO for restricted. Your particular rifle setup was mentioned specifically as not being allowed. Sorry if you didn't get a chance to shoot the match, but hopefully somebody lent him a rifle. I didn't actually meet that guy, but it's too bad. I mean, that's such a silly rule. It's definitely not Galt's fault, but the CFO just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, I you know, whatever. It is
so
what it is, I guess.
They don't allow restricted
firearms at all at the Silhouette range. So it's just not approved for restricted, I guess.
How can it be not approved for a class of firearm?
It's the Ontario CFO. He makes up more rules than grade twos playing Monopoly.
Wow.
Anyway. Thomas continues on here. It was very nice meeting some of the many voices I have heard on CRR and Slamfire Radio. I have always enjoyed 10X and 9X's audio submissions to the show. Simon, if I had a 50 BMG, I would let you try it. If any of the listeners own a 50 BMG and know a competent young shooter, we know a competent young shooter that would love to give it a try. And yes, Matthew, the 1911s and Brian's name tend to be mentioned together. Often. I met Brian this winter at our Black Badge course. Of course, we were the only two people using 1911s, so we had something in common. I like Brian, a very nice guy who shoots a uniquely Canadian sport. I did not recognize that we were the only country that allows civilians to compete side by side with our armed forces. And of course, there is the female voice we all hear on the show's intro and ending. The odd time we may hear her on the podcast too. My Facebook friend, the lovely Jewel McClatchy. She was such a nice person to meet. With her beautiful smile and infectious laughter, she makes you feel at ease right away. Terry and I both enjoyed spending some time talking with her. The fact that she was a beautiful redhead had nothing to do with us liking her. Yes, a smiley face there. Oh, I almost forgot about Chris Anderson. He is the reason I began listening to CRR. A couple of years ago, I accidentally downloaded one of his podcasts while searching for Canadian reloading retailers online. A few weeks later, when I was deleting some files from the phone, when I saw a file that I didn't recognize. So I opened it up, and I've been listening ever since. It's easy to see how much time and research goes into his podcast, and this was evident in the quality of the shows he produces. Many months may pass before a show is uploaded, but they are well worth the wait once he does. A truly kind and gentle man that enjoyed talking to. So, Chris, what's up with the Smurf hair color? In closing, I just want to say thank you, Trevor, Matthew, Jewel, and the no-show guy, Owen, from Slamfire Radio. The only thing I really enjoy about the show is that it makes me laugh, too. The one thing that I really enjoy about the show is that it makes me laugh, too. So, yeah, like I said, that comes to us from Mr. Thomas Donnelly. So, thank you, Thomas, for that email.
Yes. I was there.
Yeah, oh, you're very nice. All right. Well, one more email here. Owen, why don't you take that away?
This is from Dave J. Hey, Matt. Been catching up on older Canadian Reload Radio episodes and about to catch up on yours. My question goes back to around episode 150 on CRR. When you had the listener donating parts for an AR coming in, some parts came from the U.S., did the donors just send them up? Do you want to answer that?
Yes, they did.
I asked because last weekend I was in Great Falls, MT.
Manitoba.
I don't think
it's
so.
Montana.
Montana, yeah. And one sporting store had piles of AR-30 round magazines priced at $9 a mag, included P-mags.
Nice.
Wow. I've been told that Canada doesn't care who pins them, so apparently if I had a drill and rivet gun, I could have brought some and pinned them in the hotel. But I was told on the Gun Owners of Canada that a person needs an export license to export anything firearm-related out of the U.S. If I got caught by U.S. Border Patrol, it would be possible jail time. For the life of me, I cannot see how such a little $9 part can be such a big deal. Is it a different situation when a U.S. citizen ships it? Any ideas? Could I have bought them, pinned them, and sent them to myself? Thanks, Dave J. David, you are correct. There would be no problem for you to pin it and bring it into the country. As far as Canada is concerned, just don't get caught on the U.S. side with it.
That's basically correct. I did send him an email that answered it already, but I will answer it again for the listeners. Canada doesn't care. You can bring in, you know, pinned mags, you can bring in firearms, you can bring in whatever you want, as long as it falls, you know, as long as it's not a prohibited device by Canadian law, you're fine on the Canadian side. But there are certain firearms and firearm parts that are regulated by ITAR. And if you're caught trying to take them out of the United States without the appropriate export permits, it is a lot of trouble. And as I understand it, I'm not 100% sure, but magazines, and I would say especially AR-15 magazines, are on the ITAR prohibited list. So make sure that if you do want to bring up AR parts, that you do get an export permit. For those people who sent me up the parts for my AR build, I can only assume that they, you know, procured the proper paperwork to do it. I didn't ask any questions, and it came across the border, and it got to me. So I, you know, I'm fine with that. But, you know, like I said, to do it legally on the U.S. side, you got to get those export permits. So I wouldn't personally go over and you know, buy a bunch of mags, drill them, and then bring them back across. You know, you could try shipping them to yourself, but I'm not going to say that you should, because I would never advocate you doing anything illegal. So maybe look into Iron Guns. That's a legal a company that that specializes in bringing firearms and firearms parts across the border. For a small fee, they may be able to import a bunch of AR mags that get pinned before they come across, and then you'd be all set. So check them out.
Yep, absolutely.
Very good. Well, we have been kind of off on this for a little while because the last couple of shows were all microcast, but the iTunes review feature is back. And we've got a good one from Savage Lapua, or Savage Lapua, depending on how you pronounce Lapua. this is how it works. What we would like you to do is head over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. We'd prefer them 5 stars, but, you know, we'll take anything. It really does help us with our exposure on iTunes. So, you know, it helps the show. Now, if you make it funny or witty, or if you insult Trevor... we will definitely read it. In fact, and then if you say anything good about Trevor, he will definitely read it. So win-win, mention Trevor, it's going to be read. and I do want to say thank you to everybody who has already left reviews, and some of them are absolutely hilarious, including the following, which reads, "The most metrosexual pro-gun podcast available on the interwebs. These three gentlemen cover everything from environmentally friendly hatchbacks to accessorizing your Glock, how to dress to impress at the range, how to stun and bewilder competitors with their obscure shooting techniques, and even how to make the ladies beam with excitement at their statuesque frames of their guns. Sculpted guns." Love it. Oh, it was hilarious. Very good. So, yes, you win the prize this week.
That's right.
That was your... prize right
yeah,
there.
A big bag of nothing.
A big bag of listening to yourself be read on the internet.
That's right.
Very good. Well, Steve was the lead host, and he's supposed to do the sign-off, and he's not here, so Owen, that means it's you.
Right, because I do the next best Australian accent.
That's right. So, you know, I guess we don't need to talk about the charity shoot because that one's out, but at least remind our listeners about the NFA and CSSA and Facebook and stuff. So,
yeah, like you just did.
Well, come on, do it better now.
You said it all.
I didn't say all of it. I didn't mention GOC. They should go over there and go on their...
like the very the fine print on a radio ad?
Yeah, do it really fast.
Use them. I think it contest a giveaway to BLG. You need to be a member of the forum. These are knife sets, holsters, range bag, up for grab. Go sign up. Like us on Facebook, post it on our banner, in your favorite website online forum signature. Instructions are on a contact page. CRN, Talking Lead. Check out those podcasts. See you at the charity shoot. It's over. Don't bother showing up. Join the NFA, CSA. See you later.
I like it.
Good. Batteries not included.
Some assembly required.
Some assembly required.
All right. Well, that was good. I guess I'll have to say take somebody shooting because Trevor's not here. And Owen, say goodbye, Owen.
Bye, Owen.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.